it's the Bruins Benders podcast, it's season 3, episode 24, Maroon and Gold Day with Maddie and Smitty, brought to you on the Inside the Rink podcast network. InsideTheRink.com is your one-stop shop for all your NHL, AHL, and ECHL news, insight, and analysis. Follow us on X at Inside_the_rink. Download the Inside the Rink app for extensive Bruins coverage. And if you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. That'll help us a bunch. Here's some information from Smitty on how to sign up for ESPN Plus.
You can go to ESPN Plus and sign up at insidetherink.com/ESPN. And you can get NHL hockey. You can get some other stuff. I mean, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
They got all, yeah, I mean, they got all kinds of sports on there. They got college sports, pro sports, MMA. Yeah. But if you're interested in the hockey like we are, they got all the out-of-market games over there. So you should sign up at insidetherink.com/ESPN today so you don't miss any of that NHL playoff action, which is coming up very, very soon.
It is coming up in about 10 days, I believe, is the first matchups in the national networks have put out their schedule too, so Bruins will be on some of that as well, and you know, we'll see who they play. It looks to be the Tampa Bay Lightning, though. It's getting pretty close.
Yeah, there's been some back and forth about it and about the playoff format and how much it sucks, and it does suck, and it should be changed, because you know you have the Bruins, you know, having a really good regular season. And then you look at Tampa Bay in the first wild card position with more points than some of the teams in the Metro. So it just, they really need to fix it and have a straight 1-8 and seed according to points in the regular season to reward the teams that have a better regular season. Plain and simple.
Yeah. Tampa Bay's going to have like 10 points or more better than the Islanders if they win that thing. So I agree with it. I think the format sucks. I think the Bruins and Toronto Maple Leafs have been screwed
before,
the past years because of it. But I'll tell you, two great matchups, Boston, Tampa Bay, Florida, Toronto. There's that end to it where it's just great hockey. But
yeah, but it's happened a little too early in the playoffs, really. Right. That's the problem.
Want that later. Hey, rapid review. And the Bruins had an interesting week here. Started out well at Carolina, 4-1 win. One of the better efforts of the year. I mean, they played really well in Carolina, a team that's had their number at times over the years. And the Bruins really put forth a really good effort in that game and won in Carolina, which was really nice to see as they're playing some really good teams down the stretch here. And they're, you know, to this point, they were beating them.
Yeah, they were playing really well, and that is a really good Carolina team. Carolina's been playing unbelievable, especially since Frederik Andersen came back. I think he was 11-1, and Carolina as a team was 13-2-1 or something like that since, beginning of March or something along those lines, maybe mid-February. But they've been playing real good hockey, and the Bruins went in there and had a really nice kind of playoff-type game. Great road game. They scored three quick ones early and then, hung on and closed it out strong. So a really good effort in Carolina where they've struggled certainly in the past.
Right. And in Florida at home, and what was a real Donnybrook on a Saturday afternoon, 3:30 start, Sean McDonough on the call. I mean, it had all the makings of a really good Saturday afternoon game. And in the old days, Saturday matinees could be real snooze fests and bad efforts and teams that are half asleep and so forth. But this year, there's been a lot of really good Saturday afternoon games with some really good action. And this was one of them. 3-2 win for Boston. Jesper Voquist with the big overtime goal. And at that point, put Boston 4 points ahead of Florida. It was a huge game as far as the division was concerned. And Boquist makes a really good play. I think it was along with Lindholm, maybe. No, it was Grizzlick, maybe. Just inside the blue line, they kind of converge. Boquist makes the steal, comes down, and just rips a snipe for a goal to win the game 3-2.
He's been really good. Boquist since he's come up and entered in the lineup, and that's part of the reason that Beecher hasn't seen enough as much time until recently he got called back up. But Boquist kind of took that fourth line center job and held on to it. He's been producing. He has 6-7 goals now, I think, in a couple of months. So that he's really added a lot to the team. He has a lot of speed, which is something that the Bruins lack overall up and down the lineup. So I think that's another added plus to his game. And, it was a really good overall win. I think the Bruins stood up to the Panthers' physicality. They were ready to go from the very beginning. And it was a really nice win against, a team that is probably going to have a lot to say about who makes it out of the Eastern Conference.
Sure. And I think it's needed as far as fourth line play, because the Bruins, I thought there was one of the weaknesses of the team was the fourth line. They just couldn't get it right. Lauko wasn't doing much. Steen wasn't doing much earlier in the year. They were playing a little bit too much, weren't doing really anything. Both of them kind of the same player. Not a lot of size. There's some speed there, but not a lot of physicality as much as you wanted. And then Brazo came in, and then Boquist comes in, plays pretty well. And then you started to figure that thing out. Brazo gets hurt. But Boquist, I think, is kind of a sleeper coming into the postseason. He's got the speed. He's got some skill. And I think on a bottom six, he can make some things happen. And they're starting to figure that thing out, the bottom pair on defense and the fourth line on offense. They're kind of putting those pieces together. And I think it's one of the reasons why they've been able to win some games and potentially win the division is largely because of those, the bottom pair and the fourth line. So that was a really good snipe by Boquist, and a good, just a good play all around in the overtime. And then, of course, as the Bruins often do, they put together a real stinker at home against Carolina, 4-1 loss. Just not a lot there. Looked like they wanted kind of the season to wrap up. Yeah, I think they had a little bit of a hangover. Okay, we beat Florida. We've distanced ourselves. We think we're probably going to win the division now. And there wasn't a ton of urgency there. And Carolina wanted some revenge for losing at home.
Yeah, it seemed like the Bruins kind of got caught reading their press clippings, like, oh, we played all these playoff teams and we've beat them and we've closing out games the right way and we're playing with more physicality. And Florida comes out first, Carolina comes out first shift of the game. They almost score. Bruins get lucky on a shot that sits on the goal line. They called it a goal on the ice and then it was waved off. The Bruins just didn't have it from the jump. They seemed to pick it up a little bit towards the end of the first, but from the second period on, it was all Carolina. Bruins had, I believe, 4 shots on goal halfway through the second period total. So it was all Carolina, and the Bruins seemed disinterested and didn't really have anything to say about what was going to happen in that game. And it kind of reverted back to those old matinees like you were talking about, even though it wasn't a matinee. It reverted back to those old matinees where it's kind of a sleepy game and the Bruins are just kind of, going through the motions, didn't really have their skating legs. There was almost no physicality from either team. It's almost like nobody wanted to get hurt and they're just kind of playing out the string. So, not exactly what you're looking for heading into the playoffs. I think the Bruins need to still kind of ramp up a little bit here to be playing good hockey as the playoffs begin.
Yeah, and 3 games to go, and 2 of them against 2 teams that are really fighting for a playoff spot, Pittsburgh and Washington. I mean, they're right there, right behind the Islanders, and looking to try to make the playoffs. Both games on the road. Won't be easy. They'll be playing with tons of urgency. And then finish it up with Ottawa at home, and the Bruins still have to, like you said, finish with some zest and playing pretty good hockey so they can go into that first round series, because they'll need it for sure. 7 Chirps is brought to you by Lops Brewing and Lobster Brewing and Tasting Room at downtown Woonsocket, Rhode Island, specializing in small batch ales and lagers. It's open 7 days a week. Use the coupon code SPORTS for 10% off your online order. Go to lopsbrewing.com. Follow them at Lops Brewing for new beers and events. chirp number one. Where is Brad Marchand on the all-time Bruins list? Does he play beyond next season? And is he underappreciated in Boston? A lot going on right there.
All right. Underappreciated in Boston, I would say no. I would say around the rest of the league, I think he is. I think the rest of the league sees him as a rat and a rat only. The players, and we'll get to this in a little bit, but I think the players around the league have a little bit of a different view of him maybe than the fans from around the league do. What was the second one? Is he
second one was
oh he is he going to play beyond next season? Next season? Yeah, I think he will. I think he will.
Think so?
Okay. Yeah, I changed my mind. I thought that he would probably hang it up, but I think he will maybe go the Bergeron route and go like year to year and see how he feels, and hopefully sign a team friendly deal to keep him around. You know, bonuses and so forth. And as far as where he falls on the all-time list, I think he's probably top 10. There's been a lot of great players in the history of the franchise, clearly. But I think he's top 10. I really do. You know, obviously Bork and Busek and Esposito and Orr, and I think Bergeron's ahead of him. Chara probably is ahead of him. You know, after that, you know, he might be in there. 6-7 range, 7-8, somewhere in there, I would say. Okay. How about you? What do you think?
As far as the all-time list, you could argue top five.
And I think
the reason
you
could argue top five is he's in the top five. I looked at it in just about every offensive category in the franchise history.
Yeah.
Top five in everything, plus minus, like all of it. The only thing he wasn't plus five in was, I want to say, was maybe power play goals, maybe, but plus minus, ludicrous.
Yeah.
The shorthanded goals, number one, like all of them, like he was up there, top five in just about everything. Does he play beyond next season? I think he does a 2-year deal to finish it off after next season. So that'll be 38 years old-ish, wrapping it up. Is he underappreciated in Boston? And I'm going to say yes. And I think that people understand how – I think people understand how good he is. The thing that continues to hold him back is his reputation and the type of player he is. Even in Boston, like, I think there's still people in Boston who won't give him the total benefit of the doubt because of whatever, I don't know. I don't want to say character issues, because he seems like a good enough human being and leader and highly respected teammate. But it's more like some of the just questionable things he did. And I think that kind of sticks with you some. So they don't take him 100% seriously. And the Bergeron thing hurts him. Because you can make an argument he's a better player than Bergeron.
You can.
There's an interesting topic.
That is an interesting topic.
Who's a better hockey player?
That's probably a really good, interesting topic.
That's a really good conversation.
For the off season.
Yes, it is.
I think that's
like,
who
was a better all-around hockey player, like Marchand or Bergeron? You can make a case for Marchand.
You can, certainly
I
can.
I don't think some people will because of the Bergeron integrity piece.
Yes, I think that's part of it.
Right.
I think the Selke's a part of it. I think the playing center and having to play 200 feet is a part of it.
And being a mentor of Marchand.
Sure. Yeah.
Is part of it.
Yeah, I mean, there's all
better than your mentor.
Right. I mean, offensively gifted, I think you got to go Marchand. I think creativity. Yes. I think shot. I think, you know, on ice vision, I think is all Marchand. So there certainly are, you know, pros and not cons, but pros and, you know, less pros for each guy. I think that's certainly an interesting debate that we should have down the line, and maybe we should get, you know.
I think that's a really good debate, and that has Twitter written all over it.
It sure does.
I think that sucker will explode on X.
Yeah.
But I think also the his size, scoring over 400 goals at his size. I was listening to Andrew Raycroft talk about this on sports radio. Like, at his size and stature, like, to score over 400 goals is like, incredible. It's like he's like Theo Fleury.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's like, he's
without
like
the cocaine problem.
Theo Fleury, you know, what's that?
I said without the cocaine problem.
Without the without a lot of the coke. Yeah, but that's sort of thing. You know, to be at that size and just Martin Tan Saint Louis.
Yeah,
like to be at that size and to play like that is like really impressive. Put up those kind of numbers, and when he's done, I mean, he's going to have next year, and then let's say he does next year in 2 years. So he does 3 more years. And he scores 25 as well. That's 75 more goals. He's close to 500 goals at the end of his career.
Yeah, that's the people crazy. That say that he doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame or won't be a Hall of Famer
is
beyond me. Like, I don't understand that at all. Like, he should be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He has a cop.
First ballot.
You know, and
he's going to be a top five player in the history of an original six franchise.
Yeah.
And he goes to the Hall of Fame, dude.
Sure.
Like, I don't care. You don't like him. You think he's an asshole. You know. You think he's a pest. You think he's dirty. You think he's whatever. You don't like him, and that's your narrative, and you're sticking to it.
Sure.
Fine. But don't be a dank.
Yeah.
He's going to the Hall of Fame.
He like, sure
he
is.
Deserves this.
Yeah. I mean, all the work he's put in. I mean, they thought he was going to be a fourth line guy. They thought he was going to be a third, fourth line guy. You know, I was watching the Marchand and the Thousand thing the other night, and Claude Julien, you know, said that Marchand told him his second year he was going to score 20 goals. And Claude just like, are you sure?
Lofty.
You sure about that?
But he scored one games in his first year.
and then he did it. And then, you know, so.
Exploded.
Yeah, I mean, he really has put in the work to make himself the player that he is now, and all those characteristics are probably part of the reason that he's the captain of this team now. I mean, it just goes to show if you apply yourself and you put the work in, you know what you can accomplish.
And again, for the third year in a row, the NHLPA, they had this little vote. Which player do you least enjoy facing but with one on your team? Brad Marchand won it again at 29.19%, 12% more than the next guy, Connor McDavid, like by far, like 30% of the league would want to play with him but hate facing him.
Yeah.
So that tells you everything you want to need.
Yeah, I mean, that's competitiveness. That's
your peers know.
Yeah.
That's all of it. That's you know, coming up big in moments. That's all of it.
Sure.
That's all of it. That's being a complete pain in the ass and having to, you know, scout for him, prepare for him, know where he is on the ice, penalty kill, power play, 5-on-5, overtime, whatever, any of it. So, Marchand is, I think that Marchand's going to be a top five player after the four guys you mentioned. I think Marchand... Well, it's a great discussion to have. I think Marchand is going to jump over Bergeron, but Bergeron's going to get the benefit of the doubt largely because of the guy he is. And I think that in the respect that people have, like, they're going to hold him up on a pedestal more, which is fine. Like, I'm not saying that's bad.
No.
I'm saying that's he deserves it. I mean, that's fine. That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's no slight on Bergeron. Bergeron is still one of the greatest players in the history of the Bruins, for sure.
Right. Well, for sure.
You know, for sure. We're arguing a little bit of semantics here. It's like, you know,
we are.
They're both insanely great players, Hall of Fame caliber players. It's just, you know, where would you rank them? And that's a good, you know, that's a bar side debate. You know, have a couple beers and fucking go back and forth about it.
You can have 5, 6, and 7. All time, right on that team, Bergeron, Marchand, Chara. You could make that argument.
Sure.
You can make that argument. Those three are in the 5, 6, 7, are all in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, and then Krejci, you can make that argument that he slides into the top 10.
Sure.
So you have, you know, Jesus, like that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's high praise for all those guys.
It is.
It really is.
All right, chirp two. Jim Montgomery gave insight on the goalie situation, which is going to be a complete fist in the ass after when it's all said and done. He alluded to the fact that goalies will rotate. Do you agree with this nonsense?
I told you. I think they're going to do it. I don't necessarily.
They're gonna fuck this thing up.
I told you. They're going to do it. I think they're going to do it. It's what they've done all through the season. And they have had success with it in the regular season. And the last 2 years in the playoffs, they have not had success with it. They've right. gone without the rotation, and the team's lost in the first round. So they're mm-hmm. going to mix it up. They're going to change it up, and they're mm-hmm. going to go with the rotation. I don't know if it'll be a straight rotation, and it'll be like two, and then the next guy goes in, or however they want to handle it. But they will do a rotation in the playoffs. They absolutely will.
Okay, game one, 3-0 win.
Yeah,
at home. They beat Tampa 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
All Mark stands on his head.
Yep.
You're putting Swayman in there, who hasn't been great the last.
I mean, they are. I mean, I'm not sure if they're doing. You know, if it'll be one game and then one and or you know two and then whatever. But yeah, I think they'll do it. I think they will. I think they'll put Swayman in for game two. And you know, if he loses, then they're opening themselves up to a ton of criticism, and me included, because I don't think they should do it either. I think they should ride the hot hand going in. And the second half of the year, since the trading deadline, Allmark has been better. Now, in the playoffs, historically, in the last couple of years, Swayman has been better. So we'll see what happens when the rubber hits the road and they actually have to make a decision about who it's going to be. Right now, if you had to ask me today, who are you starting game one of the playoffs? I'm saying Allmark because I think he's been better recently, and you ride the hot hand. But, you know, if Allmark goes in and then lets in a couple of softies in game one, you know, it'll be Swayman in game two. And and then if he wins, I don't know what they do. I don't know if they go back to.
That's the thing I'm just trying to tell you. It's just like, so you lose game one 5-1, then fine, put Swayman in. Great. But then Swayman wins the next game 4-0. So you're going to put Allmack back in game three? No.
I mean, I agree with you, but I think they will. I think they're going to go with the rotation.
And that's what I tell you, that is what is really scaring me about this thing, is that Montgomery is not learning from the overthinking last year that cost this team. They cost the team his overthinking with line shuffles and all that shit. So he's going to do this thing to set it up again. Okay, so they go with Allmark the first two games. They win the first two games, and they're up 2-0. And they go to Tampa Bay, and they put Swayman in a series shifting loss because he sucks. And now you're back to what? Now go back to Allmark again, but now you lost the momentum. Like, I just don't see where it works. It does in the regular season, but it can work in the season really well, but not have anything to do with the postseason. Like, not work in the postseason because it's too risky. It's too risky to fuck things. It is. It matters, you know, all that stuff, team confidence, like any series. Like crazy. We've seen it with the Bruins. Like any series can a dime. And to allow that to happen, you couldn't get your goalies right. Just stupid.
Yeah, I agree. I think that they shouldn't do the rotation, but they will. And then we'll have to see how it plays out, and we'll have to kill them for it when it, you know.
Literally, no one's ever done it. It's like, this is what I always say about stuff like this. If no one's done it before, then there's a reason. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if no one's ever done it before, then there's a reason why they haven't. Like, we saw it last year with Florida. Alex Lyon's in there, doesn't play well. They put Bob in there, and then that's it. They win. They go on a run. That's how you do it. Like, that's how you do it. So, but this rotation and making sure that the second guy gets in there, it's not October, dude. Like, you get this scares me. This could be something that really prevents them from advancing deep, is screwing with this thing, because then you start screwing with people's minds, and Swayman hasn't been playing well anyway. And I don't know. It's just too risky right now. Allmark's playing. I'll put him in there. Win and move on. Like, you don't play a lot of back to backs, you know. I have some, but
yeah.
You don't play it.
I don't think they play really back to back in the playoffs. I don't think they do it. I mean, if they were going to do a back to back here and there, I could see them going with the other guy in the second of a back to back because they've done it all year. But you know, if there's enough rest in between game, like, I don't know.
It does. Because last year, I think Montgomery had some real breaking moments that hurt the team. And this is like with this too much. Go with the Hawkeye who's playing really well. You don't have to the wheel heel here. And I know that Jeremy Swayman's the second star in the whole season, and it's hard to go second star to not starting in the postseason, but that's the way it goes with goaltending. It's the way it goes. Like, that's the way it goes. Allmark's playing better. Play him. Like, that's the way. It's not some, you know, first-line center that's not playing well, and you put some other guy in there. Goalies are different. So I don't know. I'm scared of this whole situation. And it'll be fascinating to see what happens. But I'm really scared. Now, they may be able to handle it themselves, the two goalies, and do it well. And maybe they are the aberration in the history of the friggin' league. Maybe they are. Maybe they have what it takes to handle this. And then it's fine. But the odds say that it's a real risk, I think. All right. Trip three. Is this David Pastrnak's greatest season to date in the whole grand scheme of things?
I would say yes.
It could be if you look at the whole ball of wax.
Yeah, I mean, I would say yes because of without him, I'm not sure this team makes the playoffs this year.
Right, right.
I mean, they have a good defense. They have good goaltending, but I don't know if they could score enough goals without him to make the playoffs. Like, he has over 100 points. The next closest guy has under 70. Like, Marchand has under, or right around 70, right?
He has 28, and yeah, it's under, isn't it? Under?
Yeah, I think it might be under. So, yeah. I mean, that's like a 40-point difference, yeah. You know. And they've talked about some of these other Hart Trophy guys, you know, having big gaps between, you know, what they've done and what other guys on the team have done. But other guys on some of those other teams still have guys in the 70s and 80s. Like, it's a drastic drop between Pastrnak and the next guy, Marchand. So I think it has been his greatest year. He's maybe improved a little bit physically too. He's thrown his weight around a little bit more. He seems more ready to battle and hit. You know, whether that translates to the playoffs, we will find out. But I think his overall game it has been better this year than at any other time.
Well, here's a tweet that was sent out by Ty Anderson yesterday. Since Jim Montgomery called out his team in that practice before Florida, the Florida game, David Pastrnak has been on the ice for 9 goals for and 2 goals against in over 100 minutes of 5-on-5 play among 77 forwards with over 100 minutes of 5-on-5 time play. Over that span, only 7 forwards have been on the ice for more goals for than Pastrnak. Only 4 forwards have been on the ice for fewer goals against than Pastrnak. Only 10 of those 77 have more 5-on-5 points, and only 6 forwards have drawn more penalties at 5-on-5. Pastrnak has also a goal or assist in 8 of the team's 19 goals over that span, 42% to your point, and scored in the shootout win over the Capitals. So his value just there in that stretch is off the charts. He's played 20 minutes of ice time a game, the highest ice time he's had in his career. He made a 200-foot play the other night that when people say he doesn't play any defense, which is kind of a crock now. He does play a little more physically. He's not Ovechkin, but he'll play physically. He'll hit guys. You know, he'll get in a scrum. He'll do those types of things enough. I mean, he does it enough to be okay, to be fine, for it not to be a liability. He does it enough. He's taking on a leadership role. Like, he plays every game, too. Like, this is a guy that people say isn't physical and isn't this and isn't that and soft and this, and he plays every game. Like, and that's, for a guy like him, that's impressive too.
Yeah, I mean, he really should be getting more Hart consideration and more Hart buzz than he is. But, you know, your Kucherovs and McKinnons and McDavids have just had, you know, ridiculous years. I mean, they're all looking at, you know, Well, Kucherov and McKinnon upwards of 140 points. McDavid's in you know, 120s or whatever. So, you know, but he should, based on, you know, his value to the Bruins, you know, I feel like he should be in that consideration, because I think without him, they don't make the playoffs. Whereas those other guys, teams, you know, there's still some star players around those guys. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, the Bruins, like I said, there's not much offensively without him in the lineup.
Yeah, you lost two of your best centers you've ever had in the history of the franchise. And, you know, he just hasn't missed much of a beat. Are his goals down? Sure. But he had 60, for Christ's sake, like 61, whatever it was. Like, he's going to score 50 goals.
Yeah, he's still at almost 50. I mean, he's 47 goals.
With Zacha and Coyle as your centers, like I just, and you're right, Kucherov, if it was me, I'd pick Kucherov just because I don't think that team's great either.
Yeah.
And he's out there scoring 147 points or whatever it is. Like, Christ, like Stamkos has 39 goals or whatever it is, and larger because Kucherov's on the team with him.
Yeah.
Not taking anything away from Stammer, but he's he's much older now. Like, you wouldn't think he scored 39 goals this year.
I'm going to toot my own horn here about McKinnon, because my wild prediction going into the start of the season was he was going to score 50 and win the Hart. Hit the hat trick last night to 51, and he's right in the mix there, baby.
He's
so
in the mix, dude. You might have the double whammy right there.
So he's right in the mix. So good call by me. Attaboy.
Yeah, you're in the mix, and I'm in the mix with 60 plus goals for Matthews, and DeBrus still stuck at 18. Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here we go. Poor Jake.
Yeah.
Boy, Jake DeBrus thing, that's going to be interesting.
We need him to get hot. He's in a cold streak right now, and we need him to get hot. Did you see, like,
the good part of that? He's so streaky that he's in this thing. You're almost waiting. Like, he's really close to turning it on to being on a hot streak right at the right time.
Exactly. Exactly. So
this
right.
Could be good. This could be good. Chirp 4, Danton Heinen nominated for the Bill Masterson Trophy. I'll tell you that Heinen is one of the best pickups when you factor in the whole picture.
Oh, sure.
Best pickups of the offseason. Like, and on the league, not just them.
Oh, yeah, in the league.
Like, for God's sakes, like, to pick this guy up and have him be pretty much on the top line now is insane.
Yeah, he is essentially on their top line, which is Pastrnak, Zacha, and Heinen. And he's been unbelievable since he came into the lineup. He does a lot of the small things for those guys. He's a smart player. He has a good hockey IQ, so he makes a lot. There was a play last night when I was watching the game where he cut across neutral zone from left to right, and he did kind of a little behind the back, little backhand, like a little tiny, like a 3-foot pass, sauce pass, but it was right to Pastrnak in stride and allowed him to come into the offensive zone with speed, and he got a really good chance off of it. Mm-hmm. He just does little things like that really help that line succeed, and he's been fantastic since since he came into the lineup. And I'm trying to find his stats here. So 16 goals, 19 assists, 35 points, plus 14. You know, he's having a really, really good year. He has 80 hits, 45 blocks. I mean, he does a little bit of everything, and he's getting paid, you know, peanuts. So if you can find me a guy that's been a better value than him across the league, I'd like you to show him to me, because I don't know if there's one out there.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but going forward, who would you rather have, Danton Heinen or Jake DeBrus? Like, seriously, I mean, right now it's a legitimate question going forward. Who would you rather go with going forward after the season, Heinen or DeBrus?
I mean, right now you have to say Heinen, right?
Wouldn't you?
Don't
because
you?
It's probably going to be cheaper.
Sure.
I mean, you'll probably get Heinen at half the price.
Yeah.
And he's doing exactly what Jake is doing right now. Jake has 18 and 20 or whatever it is, and Heinen has 16 and 19.
Jake has 18 and 21. Heinen has 16 and 19. So Jake's been a little bit better. Jake's plus 7. Heinen's plus 14. Mm-hmm. Jake has 102 hits, which is good for him, and 48 blocks. So he's you know, people have said it. He's playing a more complete game. No doubt about it. But the production is not there for what they're paying him.
No, so that's don't give a shit about.
That's really what it comes down to is the production for what they're paying you. If you want to pay Jake DeBrusk the same price you're paying Danton Heinen, I'm all in, baby.
Sign me up.
Yes. Yeah. But he's getting like four times more than Heinen is.
Yeah.
So, and he's probably going to want to raise. So are you going to give him more than $4 million next year coming off a down year? I wouldn't. But
no, I'd offer him at best the same contract he just had. 2 years, $8 million.
I'm with you. I probably would go less than that. I mean, there probably are teams around the league that are willing to pay more than that. You know, I'm sure Edmonton would love to have a guy with his speed and finishing ability on a team with, you know, the likes of Draisaitl and McDavid and Hopkins and Hyman. So, you know, maybe they swoop in and give him a little bit more money, but honestly, they should be focused on defense. Like half the fucking teams around the league, just forget about defense. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with him. But I think you're right. I think Heinen is certainly making a case for himself to be, you know, a candidate here to sign, you know, a longer term extension with the Bruins in the offseason.
I think the Bruins are going to let DeBrusk walk. I really do. And I think they're going to go with Heinen like 2 years, like a Freddie deal, like 2 years, $5 million, whatever it is, and do that instead. And I think they're going to let DeBrusk walk. I really do. Unless DeBrusk doesn't have any real other offers and they're able to give him a low ball thing, I really think he's going to be gone and they're going to just let him go for nothing. All right, chirp five. Do you feel better about the way the Bruins are closing games now?
I was until yesterday.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
Peak and Wotherspoon up until the last game, Peak and Wotherspoon have helped because they play a little bit of chippiness and a little bit of attitude. The Florida game, I thought that they were a huge part of it.
Yeah, they were tremendous in that game.
Score thing, but a huge part of it because the team sort of rallied around them and they didn't back down from the bullshit and they ended up winning the game. I thought it was a really good moment for the team and it showed some real value from that third pair. We've said this before, if they can be Ferentz and McQuaid, then that's going to the Bruins could really make a run here. They could. And I will say that boldly that they could make a run if that third pair plays like that and does that.
I 100% agree with you. Now, the other problem is, though, you have games like last night where Wotherspoon was bad. Not okay, not like hold his own. He was bad last night. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's things like that you have to worry about. How's his consistency? Is he going to be able to handle it when it ramps up another level when you get into the playoffs, especially against teams that forecheck hard like Carolina and Florida do? But I was encouraged, I'll tell you, by the you know, the games leading up to last night's Hurricanes game. So I would give that pair a shot in the playoffs going in. And then, you know, if one of them is terrible, then you have a really good veteran in Shattenkirk that has a ton of experience that you can plug in there. But I'm giving those guys a shot because I think you do need their kind of no-nonsense attitude and physicality come the playoff time.
Yeah, and maybe it's a matchup fast. Maybe that's for a while. This you do something. But he wasn't very good. Third pair defenseman, great every game. He'd be playing. This is a 12 minutes, 15 at all type of pair D.
You were kind of breaking up through all of that, so I couldn't really hear what you said. But
if with Wotherspoon, 10 to 12, 15. Minutes per game, right? So
yeah,
third pair.
Yeah,
so just be solid for that time. Maybe Carolina's on a situation, not matchup. I don't know, but hope just an aberration. Maybe it's just a, you know, Who knows? Chirp six. Nelson's wearing 37 Providence. It's religious.
Jackson Nelson should not be wearing 37 for the Providence Bruins.
Man, the amount of people who didn't care was kind of shocking to me.
I was like, what? I mean, I get it. It's not the Bruins, but Patrice Bergeron played for the Providence Bruins and wore that sweater for the Providence Bruins. Now, if they're going to retire in Boston, I feel like they should, you know, honor it there as well. You know, is it a huge deal? No, not really a huge deal, but I think he should know better. Well, and I think the team should know better. So, you know, I just feel like the guys that handle that, the equipment guys that handle that, could have been, you know, a little more sensitive to that and been like, look, dude, Patrice Bergeron wore 37 here. I'm not giving you 37. I don't care if you ask for it or not. You can have 73 because McAvoy didn't really play in Providence. He went straight to the play. He played like two games there. So I'll give you a three. I'll give you a seven. I'll get, you know, whatever. But, you know, you can't have 37. I mean, I guess 3 and 7 are both retired too. So if you're going to follow that, then, you know, I don't know. I just feel like it's, you know, the guy just retired and he played there. So I feel like it's, you know, they should have given him something else.
Yeah. I just feel it's weird. I feel like no one said like, wow, 37, should we give 37? Like, would you give Mason Lowry 77? No, you wouldn't.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I'm just like, why? There's so many other numbers. Give him something else. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just overthinking it, but I saw it. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, no one said, like,
that, well, that's the thing about it. Like, yeah, I mean, if, like, I'm sure there are guys down there who've worn, like, number four, and Bobby Orr didn't play for the Providence Bruins. So, like, you know, but it's retired up here. So, you know, would you do that? Yeah, I mean, you could still give him four, but he played there. Patrice played there, and he just retired. So it's fresh in people's minds still. You know, Bobby Orr played, you know, 50 years ago, for crying out loud.
Right. So I feel like because he played there, that should be retired there too. Like,
yeah,
because he played there. Like, he, you know,
right.
That should be like, that's Bergeron's number. He played here. That's, but no one's using it. I don't know. Give him, what was Zach Sinisen? Give him that number. That's fucking open. Give him that one. Oh my gosh. Actually, Sinisen's still playing. I saw some tweet the other day.
Where is he in KHL?
No, signed again in Bolivia or whatever the hell he's playing, like some overseas somewhere.
Good.
I don't know. You know, the Bolivians are big on hockey.
Yeah.
Chirp seven, Wotherspoon and Peak matched up with the Tkachuk line. Seemed to embrace the challenge, and that was just what the doctor ordered, as we talked about.
Yeah, it was. Like you said, they didn't back down from the bullshit, and I think they were aggressive from the very beginning in that game and kind of, you know, showed Florida, look, you're not going to push us around. You want to. And, you know, Tkachuk still did some dumb shit. He boarded Wotherspoon in one play, you know, and trying to come off and say it was just a push. Like, he does dirty shit away from the puck, kind of, or within scrums, so that you retaliate and then take a penalty, and then they got you because their power play is fantastic.
Right.
Sam Reinhart has, you know, fucking unbelievable power play goals, has like more than the rest of the league combined, for crying out loud.
Right.
I thought they handled it really well. And I think they do bring an edge to that back pair that the Bruins desperately need, I think.
And I'll tell you, if they do meet in round two, Bruins were, Florida was 0 for 13 in the power play against Boston. Boston shut them down all season long, penalty killing against that really good power play, like you said. So that was an interesting stat. But I think that
knocking on all the wood right there.
But yeah. But Wotherspoon and Peak, I just like what they bring to the table when it comes to that. Like, they weren't taking any of the crap. You know, they weren't letting it happen. And I think it really helped. I really do. I think Tkachuk was getting mad. He got that boarding penalty. Mm-hmm. He's getting all friggin' whiny. And that's good. That's a good thing. He's not just out there laughing at you and like he did last year and talking about you, how we're going to beat you guys and all that. Like, I think that you saw a little bit of the tide change, which was nice. All right. A new segment. Call who the fuck is this guy? Because how about this? We put out the Jackson Nelson. We talked about Jackson Nelson on this very podcast.
Yes.
And you said how the Bruins needed center depth. You liked the pick. Mm-hmm. You liked the signing, rather. And this was a guy that, hey, he's got size. He's a center. You need center depth. So we put it on Facebook, mm-hmm. this little clip. And old Lyndon Byers, old LB, thought we were clowns because evidently there's plenty of centers.
Yeah, Bruins team is set at center. No, you shouldn't sign any prospects. You shouldn't bring any centers into the system. It should be all wingers, D's, and tough guys. That's it. Goalies. We're all set at goalies too. So just don't bring anybody else in the system. We'll just go with the guys we have until they retire and then fold the team. That's a good plan, right?
That's it. No more centers. Yeah. Ever.
We'll just go with what we have. And then when those guys run out, we'll just fold the team.
Yeah.
Why does he think I think Jackson Nelson is going to play this year on the Bruins? I mean, for crying out loud.
I don't know.
He just came out of college. Yes, Coyle is doing a great job. Zacha is doing a great job. They filled in admirably for two of the greatest centers in the history of the Bruins. Okay? Mm-hmm. Is that what you want to hear? He's not going to play on the Bruins this year. He won't.
No.
Okay?
No.
He will not. But you need depth down the line for when Coyle and Zacha aren't here anymore.
Right. Coyle's 31. Coyle's 31. So that he's not going to play forever here. So you need another, you need top centermen.
You need guys. You need bodies.
It's not
to say that Jackson Nelson is going to work out and he's going to be the next Charlie Coyle. Hopefully he is.
Right, hopefully. He
may never play a goddamn second for the Bruins.
But you
got to bring guys in. They don't have any fucking draft picks either. So how are you going to bring anybody else onto the team? If you're just going to be like, fuck it. We don't need centers. Centers are good. We're good. We're good with everything just the way it is.
So you either spend $9 million a year on a center, which you can't do all the time or ever, or you have to bring guys in and see if something works out. Throw it up against the wall, you know?
Yeah.
GM. If you're watching on YouTube, future Coyotes GM Lyndon Byers.
He's going to be the GM of the Utah Super Soakers. That's who he's going to be the GM of.
Old L, yeah. I mean, hey, look, we love you, LB.
Yeah,
I mean,
come on the program.
Well, let's the shreds.
Yeah,
let's go.
Let's yell at each other. I'm down for it.
We'll go.
Sure. Yeah. Come on. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. DraftKings Sportsbook is Boston's hometown sportsbook. It's live right here in Massachusetts. Bet local on all your favorite sports from the comfort of your own home. With DraftKings, to celebrate, all new customers will receive up to $200 in bonus bets. When you sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook using code ITR, you can now bet local on moneyline spreads, props, and more with one of America's top-rated sportsbooks. That's DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Sign up with the code ITR to get up to $200 in bonus bets to use now that mobile sports betting is live in Massachusetts. That's code ITR only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
If your loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, call 800-327-5050 or visit helplinema.org to speak with a trained specialist. Free and confidentially 24/7. Must be 21 plus. Physically present in Mass. Eligibility restrictions apply. Subject to regulatory licensing requirements. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Opt-in required. Bonus issued as free bets. Terms at DraftKings.com/MA.
And before we get to Beauty and Bender, we are going to do a listener question. And this is from Bitterman. The Bitterman TBM, not to be confused with Pearl Jam's Bitterman.
Great song.
Sit a few of the big minute players for a game? Better to rest than waste energy now? What do you think about load management in the last three?
I am all for it, Bitterman. I am all for it. Let us manage the loads. Let's give some of these guys that have been playing big minutes and will play big minutes in the playoffs a break. Yeah. So I want McAvoy to sit a game. I want Marchand to sit a game. I want Pastrnak to sit. It doesn't all have to be the same game, but have them all sit for a game. And, let them get a little rest before the playoffs ramp up.
Managing a load is a skill.
It sure is.
And I think the Bruins should manage loads as well. You get two teams fighting for playoff fighting for their playoff lives. And I think that you should, you know, Coyle's played every game a couple years in a row. Pasternak's played every game a couple years in a row. This Marchand's up off two hips. You know, this is a time here where you can, and I know you want to probably get Pasternak 50. Yeah. And there's some season things there, you know.
Yeah, I wonder if like a games played streak or a consecutive games played streak means anything to some of those guys. Yeah, I mean, I don't give a shit, but I wonder if it means anything to some of those guys. I mean, they
might. You know, it might. You go to the negotiating table and you say, "Hey, I'm playing." Charlie Coyle goes to the negotiating table at 32 years old and says, "Hey, I play every game."
Right.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, maybe that matters.
But I'm with you. I'm managing loads. Nobody wants, nobody wants loads on a back to back.
No, not a back.
Not on a back. Back to back. Yeah.
No. Hey, you know what else is a beauty? it's Brad Marchand.
Yeah, he is.
This'll teach those filthy bastards who's lovable.
No question. Marchand with 400 goals and all sorts of points and first ballot Hall of Famer and just been terrific. I mean, really incredible what he's been able to do after the surgeries and at his age and size and taking on the captainship, which she said was heavy for him, and to be able to have the type of year he's had, he's got a chance at 30 goals and he's just been really good all season long. And, you know, he had a dip there for a time, but he still goes out there every night. Talk about guys who go out there every night, play hard every shift. I mean, Marchand plays hard every shift.
Yeah. We've talked about that, you know, over the course of this podcast about, you know, what it takes to be a professional and why are great players great rather than just good. And it's consistency. That's the hallmark. That's the benchmark. And he has been one of the most consistent Bruins over the course of his career from the very beginning. He got into the lineup, you know, had a little bit of a tough stretch at the beginning and then, you know, kind of came on and he's been really good ever since, you know, scored some big goals in the cup finals to help them win that and has really been kind of a cornerstone of the franchise from that point on. And, you know, he doesn't always do everything the right way as far as some of his on-ice decisions, and he's been penalized for that. But, you know, if there was a guy, I mean, and you just saw the graphic a little while ago around the league that you want to have on your team and that you don't like playing against, he's one. So, you know, I'm certainly, you know, happy that he's a Boston Bruin and that I get to cheer for him and have him aggravate, you know, other fans and fan bases and players.
What's great is you have these, you know, Bergeron and Marchand playing their entire careers with the same franchise.
Yeah.
Like that's rare.
It is.
You have two Hall of Fame players do that. I mean, Wayne Gretzky played for four teams.
Right.
Like this is really impressive that two Hall of Famers would play for the Bruins their entire careers. Even Bork didn't do it.
Yeah.
Even Neely didn't do it.
Or didn't do it. Yeah. I mean,
Or didn't do it. Yeah. So
that's pretty special. Really
impressive.
It's pretty really special. All right, here we go. We're doing a bender, and this is a Pruder film thing going on. We got an anonymous ABC guy, possibly Ray Ferraro.
Have a bender.
All right, here's the video.
Get off the ice.
So that, you know, Pittsburgh goes into Washington and wins last night, which was Thursday.
So that was
100% Ray Ferraro.
Yeah, that was Todd Angeli singing the national anthem and a hot mic in the ABC booth. I believe we caught Ray Ferraro telling him to get off the ice when he was doing his, you know, homage to Rene Grandcourt, where he points at the crowd and tries to fire the crowd up a little bit. And Ray was having none of it. And then you heard him talking on his podcast. We did a little voice comparison there. And that is 100% Ray Ferraro.
100%. Is he a Bruins hater?
It seems like it. I mean, he was a Whalers guy back way back in the day.
Well, there you go.
So, you know, a little rivalry there from back in the day. And it doesn't seem like he's a big fan of the Bruins or Todd Angelo, who sings a damn good national anthem, if I do say so myself. So we're going to need an apology video from Ray. We need him to dress up like a chicken parm sandwich and apologize to Todd Angelo. And we'll post it. And, we need some retribution here, Ray. You need to be better than that. That's not a very nice thing to do for a guy who's just trying to make a living. You know, he bartends in the club level or whatever at the Garden, and then comes down, sings the national anthem, tries to fire up the crowd. What the hell's wrong with that? Lighten up, Francis. Yeah. Crying out loud.
I think it's you got to watch out for the hot mics.
You do.
I mean, that's some intern fast asleep with the mic. And he's just, you know, he's upset with Todd Angeli. Todd Angeli pumps his fist for about 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Give me a break. He's not out there for a minute.
No. And he might be one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
In the world.
By the way.
Yeah, and you said, it's a great anthem and the crowd's going nuts. And what the hell difference does it make? He's got a real problem with it, though.
Yeah.
He does. Absolutely.
So he is definitely our bender of the week. And
yes,
we might play that video from time to time just to bring it back, piss him off.
Prime. Like I love myself a chicken parm.
Yeah, so do I. I'm tell you, I agree with him there. Chicken parm is a fantastic nickname, and food.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. Centennial season spotlight. This week we've done Tuukka. This week it's Tim Thomas. I still have Tuukka slightly ahead of Thomas all time, but they are 1-1A. And Thomas was obviously terrific in the 2011 Stanley Cup championship. And he was better as it went on. Like in the Montreal series, wasn't great early.
No.
Yeah, which people forget. But he was great. Had that miraculous save. Can't remember who it was against, but it was near the post with the stick diving to make that one. You always have that. You always seem to have that one signature save on a Stanley Cup run. Where you look back and say, like Vasilevsky's had one, where you look back and say that there's the one, that's the one that they're destined to win it. And that was definitely it.
Yeah, he was a battler. He battled his ass off. He was an undersized guy and he just, Flurry, Flurry? No. Luongo was, wanting him to pump his tires and, was a more technically sound goalie. And, if he was deep in his crease, he would have saved it. And, the back and forth and, Tim Thomas said, I didn't know it was my job to pump his tires. So there was a little bit of back and forth there, but he was a battler, man. He just did whatever it took to keep the puck out of the net. And, when he got hot, he was as good as anyone. And he got hot in that cup final, and the Bruins rode that amazing defense and physicality to the Stanley Cup, and he was a huge part of that and a big reason why they won it. And it's nice to see him kind of come back now. There was a little bit of time there where he kind of was away from the team and had kind of disappeared and kind of went out of the limelight and but he's been back for some of these alumni events and the centennial celebrations and so forth. So it's good to see him back around the team because he should never have to buy a beer in the city of Boston or in this area ever again. He was a huge reason why that team won the cup.
100% in that season, 938 saves in a 2.00 goals against. In his area, 214 minutes, 145 losses, 49 ties, shutouts. He was 2-5-2 in a 926. There's two Vezinas, two All-Stars, Cup winner. I mean, just an orthodox goaltender, only 5'11". Took ahead all the tools. Thomas, battler in it. Just a spark there, doing whatever he could to keep the puck out of the net. And, he was a quirky guy, but most goalies are aloof, quirky. But he was, a lot of the attitude he brought to the table in that, specifically in that Vancouver series, was a big reason why, so the team sort of fed off it. And, he was crushing the Sedins in front of the net and just that was his crease. And, And that team really took on that kind of identity, especially after the Horton injury. Like, they really started to fight back and stand up to the Canucks. And it was probably the reason why they won was because they were just more physical, more mentally and physically tougher than a much more talented Canucks team.
Sure. So 100% agree.
But that was a great, great career for Tim Thomas. Providence Bruins Beauty of the Week. John Farinacci out of Harvard. He's had a good year for the P Bruins.
Good. Great.
Yeah.
65 great games, 34 points. He was a third round pick of Arizona and your future Utah Soakers. And, you know, he's now a Bruins. He's now a Bruins prospect and a Harvard man. And he's having a pretty good year for himself. This is his first year as a pro, right?
This is his first year as a pro.
Yeah, so a pretty good.
With the Bruins.
Yeah, 34 points as a first year pro is pretty good. So, you know, it's exciting maybe, you know, to see some things to come from him and hopefully he turns into a prospect. Hey, LB, a little more depth right there. A little more depth.
Yeah, hey, you need that center depth without a doubt. I mean, do you think that there should be a section in Utah where you're the Corksoakers and you have just a section with all the, they have the shirts on and that's the Corksoaker section?
There should be that section.
Should be that section.
Do you know what you know what soaking is though, right? What the Mormons do?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because for those of you who don't, you know, it's, you know, probably a little R-rated. So, you know, you can look that up on your own.
Yeah, look up soaking.
Soaking on your own. But did you know they have people that like shake you? People get paid to shake you while you're soaking. So that like you're not doing it, but you can still
the vibration is getting it done.
Yeah. A little movement. So they're, you know, you're getting the movement from the person who's actually sitting there watching you be on top of your girlfriend. I don't know. That to me is wild.
It's a different type of fornication. For sure.
Yeah. You know, but it doesn't count as sexual intercourse because you're just, you know, playing a little game. Yeah,
this doesn't count.
called just the tip to see how it feels.
Oh, prospect.
Go ahead
spotlight.
And Google it, but we're just going to tell you all what it is anyway.
Yeah. Go ahead and Google it. We don't want to describe it, but here's 5 minutes of what it really is.
What it really is. I mean, this is a you know, we're a hockey podcast, but we'll give you all you need to know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a versatile.
We'll give you a little bit of everything.
Jackson Edward, he'll give you a little bit of everything.
Yeah,
to the face.
Yeah. In the face. he'll give you a little bit of everything. He's got some goals. He's got some assists. He's got some fights. He's got some suspensions. Yeah. He's got some questionable hits. There's a guy who's tough to play against. Seventh round pick, 59 games played, 7 goals, 23 assists, 30 points. So he'll give you a little offense to go along with the snarl and the nastiness and the crazy. Let's be honest. He's been suspended more than once. Numerous times for questionable hits, questionable things that he's done. So, you know, he might be a guy that can that the Bruins could use on a bottom pair, you know, in the future. You know, a Radko Gudas type guy who's going to just be out there just fucking shit up and giving guys pause when they want to come to the front of the net.
Yeah. Instead of going out and getting a guy at the deadline that needs to add some toughness and an extra guy, Jackson Edward could be your guy next year.
Maybe.
You know, he could be a guy that could come in and be that guy if you need a little bit of rugged, you know, defense and guy who gets to the borderline, might cross it every once in a while.
Or often. Again,
I mean, maybe. Who knows? Week ahead for your Boston Bruins, April 13th at Pittsburgh, April 15th at Washington. Those two clubs right now are tied, I believe, right behind the Islanders, trying to get into the playoff push. And then 4-16, the end of the season versus Ottawa at home, seventh player award night, the shirt jersey
shirts,
giveaway
yeah,
night.
Shirts off your backs. Shirts off your backs.
We could talk seventh player award next.
Yes, I think we shall.
Because that will be announced already. Who is your seventh player award guy?
that's I mean, Dan Heinen is
he's a case just because he came out of absolute nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, Dan Heinen certainly deserves something. I think Jesper Boqvist deserves something. I think Trent Frederick certainly deserves something. He's had a good year. You know, I don't think you give it to a top six guy, so I don't think Charlie Coyle is into it. I think Morgan Geekie's another guy who could have some votes potentially. But to me, I think you got to go with Heinen. I mean, he basically came off the street. He hung around for a month or two while you tried to figure shit out what was going on with your bottom six, and comes in the lineup and then has been a really, really good piece ever since then. And now you have him playing on the top line. I mean, you can't ask for much more than that from a guy who was, you know, on the street and then comes into camp on a professional tryout. So I think he's my guy.
Yeah, I think it's Heinen. I mean, he wasn't even on the roster. Like, you wouldn't expect anything. And now he's a top line guy for you heading into the playoffs. That's just like absurd what he's been able to do. And I don't think you can. I get the Coyle thing.
He's already won it twice, I believe, though. Coyle.
He's won it twice?
I think he's at least once.
At least once? Yeah. So I think it's Heinen as well. Go to InsideTheRink.com for Bruins Benders merchandise. Hey, check out the hockey coverage. There's other podcasts, including the Inside the Rink podcast with some familiar faces. And you can get some shirts and hoodies and hats here. Favorite podcast. Follow us on social media at Bruins Benders. We do the game updates on X. Subscribe to the Inside the Rink YouTube page. We'll see you next time. Go Bruins.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.